The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Conditions continue to deteriorate in Lebanon, in southern Lebanon in particular. Here is the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in a message he has posted online.
This is a message to the people of Lebanon. Do you remember when your country was called the Pearl of the Middle East? I do. So what happened to Lebanon? A gang of tyrants and terrorists destroyed it. That's what happened. Lebanon was once known for its tolerance, for its beauty. Today, it's a place of chaos, a place of war. Israel withdrew from Lebanon 25 years ago, but the country that actually conquered Lebanon is not Israel, it's Iran. Iran, which finances and arms Hezbollah to serve Iran's interests at Lebanon's expense. Hezbollah has turned Lebanon into a stockpile of ammunition and weapons and a forward Iranian military base. We've degraded Hezbollah's capabilities. We took out thousands of terrorists, including Nasrallah himself, and Nasrallah's replacement, and the replacement of his replacement. Today, Hezbollah is weaker than it's been for many, many years. So I'm speaking to all of you today. There is a better way, a better way for your children, for your cities, for your villages, for your country. You deserve to restore Lebanon to its days of tranquility. You deserve a Lebanon that is different. One country, one flag, one people. Don't let these terrorists destroy your future any more than they've already done. Stand up and take your country back.
That is the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in a message he posted online. Politics aside, what is the situation on the ground and the reality for people in Lebanon? Eddie Higgins is with me. Eddie's the deputy representative of UNICEF in the country. Eddie, you're welcome to the show and thank you for speaking to us. Can you describe a little bit about the conditions that people are enduring in the country?
Good afternoon from Beirut. Indeed, the armed conflict in Lebanon has been escalating drastically over the past, since the 28th of September. We've seen massively increased bombardment and airstrikes right across the country, not just in the south. And in particular, as has been highlighted, the southern suburbs of Beirut have been hit very badly and continue to be hit every day. So we've had a very large number of people who've been killed in the last 2 weeks. Over 2,200 in total have been killed, many in the past 2 weeks. So that unfortunately includes over 120 children. And we've had over 10,000 people injured also, and many of whom are still in various hospitals across the country that are still functioning, that are not themselves under fire at the moment. But we've seen huge disruption to all, you know, basic health services, education, schools are all closed across the country. And we've seen over 1.2 million people who have been displaced, many over the past 2 weeks. And that includes over 350,000 children. And they're the children that UNICEF is most concerned about, especially given that winter is just a few weeks away here.
And those people, they're internally displaced, I would take it at the moment. Are they in Beirut or where in the country have they moved to?
Yeah, so a huge number of them moved from the south of the country over the past number of weeks. But now recently, since the bombardments have increased in here in Beirut, they've moved into the city centre. They've moved up to the north of the country. They've moved into the mountains. They really have, they've sought shelter across the country from wherever they can get it. They are currently sheltering in over 900 different shelters that have been opened by the Lebanese government together with the United Nations here. So over 200,000 people have crowded into these 900 plus shelters, and they're in desperate need of food, of water, of just basic sanitation, hygiene, of clothes, of medication, absolutely everything, because many of them fled just with, you know, a few minutes' notice, and some didn't have any notice at all that they were going to come under bombardment and just have to leave and flee in the middle of the night. So many continued to live in homeless, on the streets, on the beach. Right now, I'm just trying to find a location for a family with a newborn baby that is living out in the open, and we're due to have rain tonight. So trying to, you know, find shelter for the most vulnerable is top of our priority at the moment. But there are thousands still homeless.
And of course, Lebanon already has a kind of a huge population of displaced peoples that they've been dealing with. In a kind of a perverse way, has that made it easier to manage these internally displaced peoples, that there kind of are systems there, or is that a case of kind of really looking for silver linings?
No, unfortunately it's really pushed Lebanon over the brink, moving from multiple compounding crises now into what will be, if it continues and if it's protracted, what will be a humanitarian catastrophe, not just impacting today, but impacting the medium to long term as well for many of these families. What Lebanon has been dealing with is a huge refugee crisis that has been ongoing for over a decade, with 1.5 million Syrian refugees being hosted in the country, as well as Palestinian refugees. We've had more than 200,000 Palestinian refugees here for decades in Palestinian camps. And UNICEF has had a large program here supporting these very, very vulnerable people. 98% of Syrians were living in extreme poverty even before the war started. So already our systems were under strain. There's a huge economic crisis in Lebanon since 2019, one of the biggest economic crises in the last 150 years, according to the World Bank. So there are no resources in the Lebanese state to be able to manage with a crisis of this magnitude. And that's coming on top of many different competing humanitarian crises, just not just in this region with Gaza and Sudan, but also Ukraine. So we are very, very much under resourced to buy even the basic mattresses, blankets and clothing kits, etc., as well as the essential medicines that are needed, because the airport also has been airstrikes close to the airport. So we're very concerned about the different ports of entry also closing. And us not being able to get the essential supplies in the weeks ahead.
You mentioned schools having closed in the country, the lack of those medical supplies. Within Beirut itself, Eddie, where you are, how localised is the bombardment from the IDF? We were speaking to somebody a couple of days ago who suggested it was still very much in the kind of the southern part of the city in certain neighbourhoods. There was maybe the odd explosion outside of that. Has it spread into other areas? I guess what I want to get a sense of is, are people living in other parts of Beirut, despite all of this, do they feel relatively safe in those areas, or does everybody feel unsafe at this stage?
Well, I think the uncertainty has really spread across the country, and indeed there has been airstrikes and in parts of the city that was not expected, that were outside of the so-called southern suburbs. And anyone that's familiar with Lebanon and with Beirut know that it's not a huge, geographically a huge place. So when, for example, on Saturday, there was an airstrike 300 metres away from a shelter where we were distributing supplies. So it is, I don't think there's anywhere that you can say it's not that it's safe. The children told me that they're terrified of seeing just normal passengers, the few that are still flying over Lebanon. They're terrified of planes and, you know, run inside and put their hands over their heads just at the sight of a plane. So the people are very, very traumatized, and they are beginning to feel that areas that they thought were safe are definitely not that way any longer, especially when they see locations nearby being attacked, as well as public health facilities and hospitals and a huge number of water facilities, water pumping stations also hit in the airstrike.
And listen, I'm not trying to draw you into politics, because I know UNICEF take kind of for obvious reasons an apolitical stance in all of this, but what's the sense of where this is going in Lebanon in terms of duration? Is there an expectation amongst people you speak to on the ground that, you know, they've got to endure this for, you know, days or weeks, or might this drag on an awful lot longer than that? What are people saying?
I mean, the communities that we speak to tell us that they just want to go home, that they had livelihoods, they had farms, they were teachers and mechanics, and they just had normal jobs and they just want to go home, but they're extremely concerned. Many of them have lost their homes. Some of the people that we've spoken to the last few days that came from the south have heard that their villages and houses were struck after they left, and now they're, in a really, really sad state, that they've lost everything that they had spent their life working on, and they had survived this huge economic crash as well, and were just getting back on their feet. So, with the armed conflict escalating so drastically, any ground offensive or further escalation in the country would really make it this catastrophic situation even worse. And UNICEF were calling for a permanent ceasefire and for this escalation in the conflict to be avoided at all costs, because we are certain that the implications of that catastrophic situation would go far beyond the borders of Lebanon as well.
Etty Higgins, who's the deputy representative of UNICEF in Lebanon, joining us from Beirut. Etty, thank you very, very much for speaking to us on the show today.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.